Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
We're open for business live.
It's just after 9 o'clock on Friday, the 19th of December 2014. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your presenter for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business show, Business Live. It's the last show of the year. We're broadcasting live on 93.2 FM and through our internet live stream. And this show will also be available as a podcast later from our website. In today's show, we have live studio guest Rachel Salway of Rosanna talking about Destiny Rescue Project. We have Jodie Marshall, the Managing Director of a Mind Apart Theatre Company. We have Chris Barnes of Training Post and Can Studios. And we have Dr. Rory Ridley-Duff. Before we turn to our guests, some business news. The government could have made £180 million more from the £2 billion sale of Royal Mail last year. But this would have involved considerable risk, according to a new report commissioned by Business Secretary Vince Cable. The report, by former City Minister Lord Miners, said the sell-off, which attracted controversy, was executed with considerable professionalism and that the government and taxpayer achieved significant value. But Labour said the review had a very narrow remit and did not take the Royal Mail's property assets into account. MPs on the Business Innovation and Skills Committee have argued that taxpayers lost out on up to £1 billion because shares could have been priced higher when the controversial privatisation of the institution, 500 years old, went ahead. But Miners rejected this in his report. The government sold 60% of Royal Mail for 330p a share in October 2013. Lord Miners said it would have been risky to price shares higher than 350 to 360p. Ministers faced a barrage, though, of criticism when shares leapt by 38% on the first day of trading, later peaking at 615p, before, though, falling back. Shares are now trading at around 400 pence. The campaign to encourage businesses to create a business improvement district in Sheffield city centre is well underway. In November, the Bid Champions, the team behind Sheffield Bid, launched a proposed prospectus following a year-long consultation process. After feedback, the final prospectus is going to be produced for businesses to vote in the ballot period, which will be between the 12th of February and the 12th of March next year, 2015. If a yes vote is returned, the new bid company will be set up by August of next year to start delivering outlined initiatives. It would raise around £4 million over 5 years, which is about £800,000 a year, from businesses with a rateable value of £30,000 and above, agreeing to a 1% levy on their business rates. The bid team say the money would be used to deliver projects that would further enhance the city centre, but it wouldn't be used to replace or to subsidise core public sector services. And if the bid would go ahead, Sheffield city centre would not cut core services in the centre and would commit to maintaining those services at the current level for at least 5 years. Professor Vanessa Toulmin, who is the Head of Engagement and the Director of the National Fairground Archive at the University of Sheffield, is a bid champion and has commented that this is about city vibrancy and about giving the people of Sheffield the city that we deserve. She says that with the progression of the new retail quarter and the redevelopment of the Moor, there are going to be some big changes in Sheffield over the coming years. And she says that they want to make sure we're in a position to take advantage of that. You'll be able to download the final prospectus of the Sheffield Bid in the new year from sheffieldbid.com. And if you have any comments, you're welcome to get in touch with the show. Email comp@sheffieldlive.org. Text me on 07904 272 200. Find us on Twitter at Sheffield Live or on our Facebook page, Sheffield Live on Facebook. Get in touch with the programme. If you'd like to come on and talk about the bid, we'd welcome city centre businesses coming on. And the Peter Jones Enterprise Academy at Sheffield College is looking for panellists to support its 2015 Pitch for Investment event, held at the Department for Business, Innovation and Skills in Sheffield on the 23rd of January. If you can contribute 7 hours of your time to sit on the panel at this event, get in touch with Graham Tidd. Email graham.tidd@sheffcol.ac.uk. Now, do remember, you can get in touch with this programme. As I've said before, email comp@sheffieldlive.org. Text me 07904 272 200. Find us at Sheffield Live on Twitter. Whether you're starting, whether you're running a business, a social enterprise, whether you're self-employed or if you're an employer, We're keen to hear from you. Turning then now to our first guest, local businesswoman Rachel Salway lives in Sheffield, runs a fair trade fashion website, and was traumatised by the stories of lives affected by sexual exploitation and human trafficking here in the UK. Shocked and horrified, Rachel decided to invest time and money to support victims of this horrendous crime. And listeners might remember hearing Rachel on this programme only 2 months ago, in the middle of October, when she was a guest. Rachel, thanks very much for joining us on the programme again. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So a lot has happened in 2 months.
Yes.
And when you came on the programme 2 months ago, you talked about trying to raise money in order to help a victim out of trafficking. What's happened?
Yeah, so I initially started to raise money through the Rosanna Style parties, and a percentage of party sales go into people's houses and do mini colour consultations and talk to people about what colours suit them and what jewellery and colours to go for and which ones to avoid. And so I started to do that and gave a percentage of the sales to the Destiny Rescue campaign, and also the Destiny Rescue bracelets, which is part of the Stop the Traffic campaign and the Stop the Traffic bracelets. And from there, then we decided that we should do a big event, the Ladies' Night, which was on Tuesday the 16th, to raise additional funds. And my plan was to have hit the target on that day. So I just want to say thank you, really, to everybody here at Sheffield Live and everybody who had a party and everybody who bought a bracelet and everyone who came to the ladies' night, because we've hit the target and we've rescued a child from human trafficking.
So this is phenomenal news. You have customers who've been buying Destiny Rescue Stop the Traffic bracelet. Every time they've done that, £5 has been donated to the campaign.
Yes, that's right.
And who have raised sufficient to rescue someone.
Yes, Destiny Rescue is a charity who go undercover and rescue children from brothels in Thailand, Cambodia, the Philippines, India, Dominican Republic, and it costs them $1,500 to do that, and that translated, give or take a few pence, is £935 in pounds. So that was our target, and it would have been really amazing to like rescue more children, but in 2 months of starting this campaign, I think that is absolutely amazing to rescue one child from trafficking.
Well, this is phenomenal. In just 2 months you have raised that £935, and that you know that is going into this campaign.
Yes.
And that will have an enormous effect on someone's life.
Yes, it will have an enormous effect on this child's life. It's giving them a hope, a future, and a transformation of being taken out of this complete nightmare. So that is an amazing thing. And I think tonight, when we have our Christmas party, we'll be drinking champagne to celebrate.
Absolutely. Celebration indeed. Now,
yes.
You mentioned that you organised Ladies' Night, and that took place earlier on this week on the 16th of December.
Yes.
And what was the format of the event?
I would have loved to have gone to that event, you know, as a guest, because it was brilliant, if I say so myself.
It's brilliant. Organise a kind of event that you'd love to go to yourself.
We managed to thank you to Porsche Centre Sheffield for donating the Porsche for a weekend as a prize for our prize draw, and I got to drive it all the way to the ladies' night and then drive it all the way back. So that was fantastic. We had free makeovers, free style consultations and stalls of so much different variety. The Doubletree by Hilton also donated 10% of their bar sales.
Bar. well, they're obviously getting into the spirit of the event.
Yes, I did promote getting drunk. So, sorry about that.
Well, it was all going in. A percentage of the bar sales were all going into the into the event tech. And you were working with business people, Josephine Long and Jill Ashton, who are notable business people in the Sheffield community. So many listeners will know of them.
Yes, they're amazing.
And how did they help you, and how did you work with them?
Well, I totally thank them too, because I wouldn't have been able to do the event without them, because there was so much going on, as well as like doing parties and other events with the run up to Christmas, and it's crazy, and the website. They really helped me. Josie made all the Destiny Rescue cupcakes, which was quite a few, and Jill is totally awesome on social media and getting the word out, and they are amazing ladies of business.
Now, people who are listening to this programme now, who, if they haven't heard about the Stop the Traffic campaign before, they can still buy a Stop the Traffic bracelet, and they know that £5 will go towards the Destiny Rescue campaign.
Yes.
Where do they find out more?
They can go on the Rosanna website, which is www.rosanna, which is spelled rosennah.com, and there's like a header that says Stop the Traffic. So if they can click on that, and that takes you to the entire collection of Stop the Traffic bracelets. And some of the jewellery there is also made by survivors of trafficking in Asia as well. We support different charities in Sheffield, in the UK and abroad. We have bracelets that support Gold Digger, a Sheffield-based charity, also the Snowdrop Project, and Sheffield City Hearts, and some other organisations that do rescue children as well in Cambodia and Northern Thailand as well. So £5 is donated every time to the specific charity for each specific bracelet.
So people can go on to rosanna.com and take a look at the collections and click on the Destiny Rescue tab.
Absolutely.
Now, you mentioned it costs £935 in UK pounds to send undercover rescue agents to some of the darkest places on Earth to help children escape from traffickers. So those rescue agents, they must be at risk themselves. They must be, you know, they are perhaps putting themselves in danger to do this. Where does their expertise and experience come from to equip them to do this?
Yeah, Destiny Rescue are an awesome charity. It started with a guy called Tony in Australia, who was just traumatised by what he was hearing about this sort of thing. I think somebody who'd been to Thailand told him about somebody was going on business trip or something in Thailand, and they were just approached on the street. $400 US, and you can have a child. And he was just traumatised about that and decided that something must be done. And in 2011, they started to rescue children. Their target was 100 children to rescue. And they hit that target, and they rescued 205. And then they wanted to double it in 2012. And they hit that target and rescued, I think it was 224. And then in 2013, 446 children. And then recently they've, over the time period that they've been doing it, rescued over 1,000 children, which is absolutely amazing.
So enormous social impact here.
Absolutely.
Enormous positive impact from their work.
Yeah. Their vision for 2020 is to have rescued 100,000 children across the world from this horrendous circumstances. And they literally go undercover into the brothels and talk to the children and just be a light in that dark place, really. And because these children are completely traumatised and abused every day, and to gain that trust and believe someone again when you've been tricked or coerced, or, you know, people that you trusted have, you know, dealt you this situation. So it takes a bit of time to gain that trust, but then, you know, they have they have rescued all those children, so they must see something that's true in them to have escaped and stuff. So
yeah. Well, Rachel, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Coming onto the show once again, and congratulations
thank
on
you.
Rescuing a child through your ceaseless, tireless campaigning
thank
and your
you,
work.
Jamie.
And I think we should thank the Sheffield Live listeners
and the
television viewers who, after you appeared on this show and on the news here on Sheffield Live, have obviously been inspired by your campaign and bought bracelets and supported
yes.
the campaign. I hope you'll be on the show again next year talking
yes.
about more developments and the
yes.
work that you're doing on an ongoing basis. In the meantime, listeners can go to rosanna.com, rosanna.com,
yes, that's right,
to find out more about your business and to click on the Destiny Rescue tab to find out more. We're going to play a track of music which you've chosen, Rachel, which is Toto's Rosanna. You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. That was Toto's Rosanna, which is a track chosen by our first guest, Rachel Selway. Rachel was talking about her business, Rosanna. We've given a mention of the website, which you can find at Rosanna, spelt with two N's and an H at the end, .com. And Rachel was talking about Destiny Rescue. I'm joined now in the studio by our next guest, Chris Barnes of Training Post and CAN Studios. Chris, good morning. Thanks very much for joining me today.
Good morning, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
So, Chris, I brought you onto the programme because one of the things that people have often said in when they've been here in the studio and they've talked about running their businesses and getting their businesses and their social enterprises off the ground, winning customers, getting influence, getting coverage, has been the importance of social media. And it does just so happen to coincide rather nicely with the fact that your business, Training Post, is offering a free online social media course.
That's right. Yeah.
Right at the moment. So I'd like to first of all tell listeners, what is Training Post? It's online access training, but tell us more.
It's an online marketplace where small and medium businesses can access e-learning. Well, everybody knows it. It's online training, and everybody's had some experience of it in one form or another. But it is actually very expensive. Prohibitively expensive, arguably, for small businesses. You know, there are systems through which you have to run it, which cost tens of thousands of pounds a year in order to actually commission it. It costs thousands of pounds. What we wanted to do is actually give the e-learning that is normally the preserve of large corporates, and we wanted to give access to small businesses, sort of give them the same level of training, the same quality of training.
And so as an e-learning marketplace, small businesses, as you say, will have access to extremely high-quality training and social enterprises and one-person startups and all sorts that actually normally there'd be a barrier that they wouldn't be able to access.
Exactly. I mean, what we started by doing originally is putting content from content providers into it. So subjects like health and safety, inequality and diversity, with a series of different content providers. We've got 160 courses in there to give people access. But what we wanted to do is take it one step further. And we wanted to get involved with local SMEs, local experts, get them into the studio, get them in front of a camera, and get them to deliver a lesson to the camera, and then turn that into e-learning. And so we've been working with some great people across the region. And the first person is Becky Coop. She's from Rotherham-based Infinity Digital. And they're a digital marketing agency. And she's delivered a course on social media for small businesses, or an introduction to social media for small businesses. And when I checked this morning, just before I came up, 100 people from as many businesses have taken this course already.
So that course, then, is having an impact in itself.
It's, yeah, well, we'd certainly like to think so, yeah.
And I've taken a look at the course, and it's comprehensive. Mm-hmm. It's you know, it's broken down into chapters which yes. cover specific areas, and it, you know, from introductions to measuring impact and determining a return on the investment of time that people put into social media and so on. So it's not simply post, hope, see what happens.
Yeah.
Very practical.
Yes. Of course. I mean, that's what we were aiming for. We didn't want some kind of fire and forget course where it's just a click through sort of tick box exercise where it's next page, next page, next page, next page. Okay, done. All right, well, I've done my bit now. What we wanted to do is actually provide people with a resource that they can dip back into. So the way the course is laid out is into different sections. So, you know, crisis communications is a key thing in marketing and communication. So if something goes wrong on social media, if somebody makes a complaint about your product or your service, how do you handle it? And you can just go onto this course and go into the required section and just have a look at the elements that you need. There are also handouts available as well through that, which will give you the opportunity to draft your own crisis comms plans and your own marketing plans.
So in terms of the courses that are on there are other courses that cover other crucial areas that businesses need to be aware of. And you've talked about bringing in portfolio of local experts, people who really know their subject area. Who else is involved in delivery? Who else will we see delivering?
Well, we deal with a series of local people. It's sort of accidentally fallen into lessons on how to promote your business better. So, for example, Andy Hanselman.
Yep. Who's been on this show?
Who's been on this show. We're currently building his course on customer delight. So a really decent customer service course, which will actually complement his book as well. And Bill Al-Jamil, who's in this building from the Public Speaking Academy, who's done a short course on overcoming public speaking fears. We're also looking for other subjects like building press relations, SEO and things like that. And in particular, after that, we're looking at doing a series of other courses, which perhaps might be more compliance-led and a sort of helping hand for businesses. So we are working with Jay Biani from Biani Law, who's done a sort of HR nutshell.
And again, Jay has been on this show, and she's very well-known in
yes,
the region.
Yeah, superb employment lawyer and really well-renowned across the region, yeah. So she's... she's delivered a course to camera on all the different subjects that you need to know in terms of law as an employer. Everything from hiring through to disciplinary and contracts.
Superb. Now, you mentioned that the idea for setting up the business has come from the fact that so many SMEs have not had access to this kind of training before.
Yes.
And this is a new project and a new business, but it's been set up and created by existing business CAN.
That's right. Yeah.
Now CAN have significant expertise in this area themselves anyway, based in the workstation here. You've joined the business this year.
I have. Yeah. What
have you brought in terms of skills, experience, and you know, what are your key drivers, I suppose, in coming to this business? What excited you most about joining?
I feel like it's a job interview now, Jim. I've already done this once. CAN have been operating in Sheffield for about 15 years now, and they have some incredible expertise dealing with educational publishers, large aid organisations, public sector, large news corporations, you know, and producing some incredible e-learning. All of the clients have sort of been national and international, though. So despite being in Sheffield for the past 15 years, sort of direct engagement with local businesses has been relatively low. I actually came from a recruitment background in this very building, actually, at Benchmark Recruit. I suppose as a job, you don't come into more contact with businesses than you do as a recruitment consultant.
Indeed.
And so I suppose what I bring really is actually knowing people in the local business, going out, engaging with people, speaking to people, telling them about the product, telling them about CAN, and telling them about Training Post. And I hope that the word's getting out.
I think it seems to be. So people who've been inspired by what they've heard now and want to access a free social media course, a comprehensive course that they can do so free of charge until midnight on Sunday.
That's right.
They can go to the website, register, which is a very simple, quick process.
Very much so. Yeah.
And then they can access the course immediately. Now, do you want to give a plug for the website?
Yep, sure. It's trainingpost.com. If you just go on there, on the website, on the featured courses at the bottom, you'll see an introduction to social media for small businesses. Within about 3 or 4 clicks, you'll be in the course itself.
Super.
It's that easy.
Well, I recommend taking a look at the courses. Businesses have talked on this programme continually about the need to learn and to develop their skills. The course has been developed comprehensively. It's worth a look. Take a look. And Chris Barnes of Training Post, thank you very much for joining me on the programme today. And by the way, you passed the job interview.
Oh, thank you. When do I start?
So we're going to play a track of music now before our next guest. Chosen by Chris, it's the Rolling Stones, Paint It Black. You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live, broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm joined now in the studio by Jodie Marshall, who's the Managing Director of A Mind Apart Theatre Company. Jodie, morning.
Good morning.
Again, you've been on the show before. Thanks very much for coming back on the show. Listeners who remember you on the show a couple of months ago will remember, but those listeners who didn't hear you on the show before, let's introduce, first of all, what A Mind Apart Theatre Company does.
OK, we're a performing arts company throughout Sheffield. We work with ages from 5 right up to adults. In the evenings, we do performing arts classes and after school clubs. And in the days, we work with young people not in education as an alternative provider. So 5 days a week, we have about 12 hours worth of delivery.
So you're delivering daytime and evening. Now, you're also working internationally and you have this international link. Yep. Can we hear more about that?
Yeah, so we've got some partners in Brazil that we've been working with. About a year and a half ago, I think it was, maybe two, we had 2 of their young adults come over and work with us and train with us alongside some Portuguese. We continued that international programme and it was EU funded, and then we turned that into an international gap year project. So we regularly have internationals over. We've recently had 2 Germans and a Czech, a girl from the Czech Republic over. And there's 1 German still with us until the end of January. But I will be in Brazil at the end of January to February, working with our partners in Brazil to look at developing a course and a conference out there for workers that work with young children and young people in gangs and on the streets.
And so what impact will that course have then? What's the impact is to get people out of gang culture and to
educate workers on how to work effectively with them. A lot of the stuff that we do with our young people that are involved in gangs and offenders, and also those that are sexually exploited. We've got a lot of young girls at the moment, and we're one of the recognised providers in Sheffield for being able to deal with those kids within the education, alternative education contracts. So, you know, a lot of that work is about relationship, it's about coaching, and it's about using creative and practical techniques to get them thinking about their choices. You can't tell a child what to do, but you can demonstrate that they have many choices around that and hope that they choose the right one with education.
And actually, the people just knowing that those choices are there is crucial.
Exactly, yeah. And you will be surprised at how many young people feel like they are stuck in where they are, whether that be in the area that they've grown up in, whether it be in the circles that they're in, the family that they've grown up in. You'll be surprised at how many young people don't realise that actually they can get out of that and there is a way forward for them that is out of that culture. And it is about educating people within the community as well about the culture of it, and because it is a different culture.
Absolutely. So in terms of what you're doing here, a huge and impressive portfolio of work with a huge social impact, and you are earning income, you are a social enterprise.
Yeah, and we're sustainable. We're a social enterprise. Our income goes back, our profit goes back into our kids, into our projects. We don't currently get any funding for our 16 to 19 year olds. I've got no funding for them. That is coming out of the business at the moment.
So everything you are doing, you are an exemplary example of a social enterprise.
I hope. I try to be.
Now, I want to talk then about recognition and recognition for the work that you do, because you were shortlisted for an award recently.
Yes. Yeah.
I went along to the Sheffield Business Awards, which took place 2 weeks ago, organised by the Sheffield Chamber of Commerce and the Sheffield Star.
Yeah.
And I was thrilled to see that you were shortlisted for an award, and I really wanted you to win that award.
Many people did, though. Many people said that to me.
And I don't mean that in a detrimental way to the winner, of course, but the work that you do, I know from interviewing you before, the social impact and the fact that you're running a sustainable social enterprise. Yeah. First of all, is recognition and the idea of awards generally, is that important for social enterprises and businesses?
Yes, I think it is. And I think it's important not so much, yes, for the recognition, but I think it's important to create conversations around social businesses and social impact. I think it's important to get those smaller business names out there. Certainly for me, I'm in a very unique industry where within the performing arts, the third sector and education, none of which have any money, none of which the government's investing in at the moment. So I do feel that actually it's important for me to get my business out there as an example of saying, actually, guys, you can do this and this is how we can do this. And it's not looking at the short term. It's looking at the long term. It's taking the cuts in the short term so that in the long term you can come through it and actually you're up there with the rest of them. In a city that comes from factories and manufacturing and steel, you know, that's a challenge. I'm not going to lie, that's a challenge, because I think those within the politics don't acknowledge what we put into the economy. But actually, the one sector that has continued to grow throughout the recession is the creative sector. And we need to not forget that. And we need to be shouting about it.
So recognition in terms of awards exposure and the commensurate publicity that generates has a positive impact in itself, in terms of saying, actually, yes, here's a success story. Here's a success story that's having a social impact, for example, in your case.
Yeah, definitely. I do a lot of business mentoring for young women that are setting out in business, and students. I'm part of Sheffield Hallam University, and I take on their business mentors. And I think as a business mentor, it is really important for me to be living by the example and being out there and saying, guys, come on, we can do this.
Indeed. Now, you've blogged about your experience at the Sheffield Business Awards and commented on your perceptions of the awards and how the event was run and how it came across. Can you just introduce your thoughts and your comments on that to our listeners?
So my first comment as I walked into Ponsford to my colleague who was waiting at the door for me was, where are all the women? That didn't get any better throughout the night. I think I counted possibly about 10 women around me. And I was struggling to count them. I mean, normally when you go out, you go to the women's toilets and there is a queue. It was the men's toilets that had a queue. That's saying something to me. And I'm in there going, there's like 5 women in there. What is going on? And these are the same women that were in here the last time I came to the toilet. What is that?
This is an event with probably 1,000 people attending.
Yeah, and supposedly a prestigious event, the most prestigious event in the city. I was really disappointed with that, because there were women, there were businesses that are led by women in this city that are amazing businesswomen, that have been mentors to me, that are in my female business networks, because actually I do take part in female business networking because I find it much more effective than being around the male networks. And, you know, their businesses were nominated. And for me, they should have been winning those categories. You know, I think there was 14 categories, I think, and out of 14 categories, one woman won her category. But I'm sorry, but that's not good enough.
And so is this an issue in terms of judging? Is it an issue in terms of people entering the awards in the first place?
Well, when I emailed the chamber the next day, I was told by the vice president, who's female, and she's due to be the president next year, I was told by her that it was due to the women not putting enough, not having enough applications from women. The week before, I was in Leeds at the Forward Ladies Women in Business Awards, and I was nominated there for not-for-profit. And most of the categories that won, well, they were all female, but a lot of them from Sheffield. So you cannot tell me that Sheffield businesswomen are not very good at shouting about ourselves, because, you know, there were at least five women at the Forward Ladies from Sheffield that won their categories. And certainly, I mean, we had a table of 10 that were nominated within the network that I'd come through. But then on top of that, there were other female business leaders from Sheffield.
So what must the Chamber and the Star do in terms of the Sheffield Business Awards? What
they should need to make them more
do?
Accessible. I mean, I've never joined the Chamber, and I'm not about to, even though they've trying to persuade me to, but I'm not about to. And the reason for that is because, actually, I've always found it quite a misogynist environment. And I don't really want to put myself in that environment. There are times when I do put myself in that environment for good reason. And there are some amazing men in this city that really do encourage me, and some amazing businessmen that have mentored me along the way as well. But actually, we need to start discussing it more. And it is great that the next president is going to be female, but let's not make this political. And if it's going to be political, let's be positive about it, please. And I do think that we do need to be encouraged. I was informed that they didn't put a women's category in there. If you're not going to have a women in business category, then why have the young person category, in my mind? Women have to deal with different things than men. That is just a fact. Men do not carry babies. Women have to carry babies, or they choose to carry babies, if that's what they want to do at some point in their life. So we have to have that in the back of our minds.
We're also in a situation in which the UK has slipped out of the world's top 20 countries for gender equality, and the gap between men and women in the workplace is wide. And this is a topic we've discussed on this programme in the past. Recently, the World Economic Forum found that the UK had slipped from 18th to 26th in the rankings of its Global Gender Gap Report, which is a real steady decline. We're going the wrong direction.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think the point, and a lot of people have very varied opinions on whether there should be, for example, a Women in Business Award or not. And I take your point there. If there is a young person's in business award, but as you said, there are different factors that affect people.
I mean,
Sheryl
Sandberg, the COO of Facebook, she makes a really brilliant comment about, actually, yes, we are shouting about this. We do need to shout about this. We need to create discussion. And yes, it might be controversial, because it might be that might mean that we have to positively discriminate. But if our generation positively discriminate, by the time our kids come through, they're not going to have that. And we're not going to need a Woman in Business Award. We're going to need a Person in Business Award. And I think that's a valid point, because, you know, we do, in order to have that discussion, we have to show that there's a gap there and there's an issue and we need to do something to address it. And then hopefully future generations won't have that issue and it won't be about positive discrimination. We won't need to.
Quite. And, you know, as the World Economic Forum have made the point, that at the current progress, women will not attain equal economic participation until 2095. Do we want to be waiting for, you know, nearly 100 years?
Even the church is leading on this with the female bishops. If the church can do it, Church of England can do it. And I'm from the Church of England, you know. If the Church of England can do it, then come on. We need to be getting better at it in business.
We do indeed. Well, Jodie, thanks very much for coming onto the programme to talk
about this.
And I suppose let's end on the note in terms of policy. And there are 26% more female parliamentarians and 50% more female ministers than 9 years ago, according again to the World Economic Forum. But we're starting from a ridiculously low level of representation there.
I must say, I do feel that Sheffield is a little bit behind in it. I go to London and I don't feel the same as how I feel when I go to events in Sheffield.
Now, that's a very interesting point.
So we are behind and we need to wake up. and so sort it out.
So a wake-up call.
Big time, yeah, definitely.
Well, Jodie Marshall, thanks for joining me.
Thank
and
you.
And people who want to find out more about you and the yep. work that your social enterprise is doing yep. and making a massive impact here in Sheffield, but also internationally, yep. can find out more at your website,
yes.
of course.
Yep. Which is www.a-mind-apart.org.uk. But we're on Facebook as well, so...
Superb. Jodie, thanks very much for
Thank
joining
you.
Me. We're going to play only a minute or so of a track by John Legend because I want to then bring our final guest in. But it's a track that you've chosen, John Legend, All of Me. We'll play a minute of it now. Business Live on Sheffield Live. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. And we say the world. We've had a guest on Sheffield Live recently who is listening to Sheffield Live from Brazil. and a huge fan of our Thank Goodness It's Folk programme, which follows this show, and normally on a Friday, not today. And he's been listening to the programme from Brazil. He came over to teach in Ireland, and he paid a special visit to Sheffield to be on the show. So fantastic. Now, we've been talking a lot about social enterprise on this programme, and I wanted to give listeners a chance to give their colleagues, their friends, their family members a really good laugh at Christmas, but also introduce them to the world of social enterprise. Show them a world in which ASBOs are issued to unemployed stockbrokers for antisocial investing rather than to unemployed kids for antisocial drinking. And on that note, I'm going to bring in Dr. Rory Ridley-Duff, who has written a fantastic new book about social enterprise. And it's not a textbook.
No,
it's not theory, it's a novel. Rory, thanks for joining me. Good morning.
Pleasure to meet you. Yeah.
So Rory, first of all, we have the book here in the
yes.
studio. It's an energetic, engaging and amusing read, and you can read it in an hour.
Yes.
Tell me more about the book.
Right, well, the idea for the book started when I was an exhibitor at the FTSE Social Economy Fair that used to run in Doncaster. And I'd been placed next to a dragon's den. And Jodie will remember, as one of my students, that we discussed this exhibition, and they actually did a dramatisation of a dragon's den as part of their studies. So that got me thinking about the idea of dramatising a dragon's den in a completely different world, where co-ops and social enterprises had become the dominant mode of business, and we had to see investors pitching to young entrepreneurs rather than young entrepreneurs pitching to investors. So that was the germ of the idea of the book, and it sort of became teaching materials. I've been using it as teaching materials for 7 years, and additional episodes were written, and it's sort of grown into a novel.
Which is tremendous. You've sort of turned things around, put things
yes.
on their head, and you have a Jeopardy narrative, you have struggling against the odds,
yes.
you have plotting, you have intrigue, you have romance, you have all sorts. And I don't want to give anything away,
yes.
but all I would say is you've used the ingredients of a novel and
yes.
of character and plot and style. To bring a subject that sometimes people find difficult to bring to life.
Yes, and I think the goal of the novel is to try and get people to think about their aspirations for a different world. I think the issues that have been raised by the Occupy movement, by the crisis in 2008, have got people thinking in a way that hasn't happened for 30 or 40 years. And this novel is trying to tap the energy that is out there in crowdfunding, in crowdsourcing, in alternative economies, in the shared economy. All of those people who have become incredibly critical of the collapse of the banking system in the US in 2008. But we need to do it in a way that engages young people or engages adults over the dinner table or in the pub, something that they can really get their teeth into. And by using popular TV shows and particularly having a really decent satire of those TV reality shows that we see about business, I hope we can get a lot of people talking about what's wrong with the way that we portray business on TV.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so the novel actually taps into the energy that, as you say, is there now. I mean, it's funny. Some people say, oh, yeah, young people, they don't seem to be engaged these days in politics or in...
I don't think so. Yeah.
But it actually, people are highly engaged.
Yes.
And want to do something.
Yeah.
And talking about wanting to do something in terms of creating a better and fairer society, the Fair Shares movement itself
yes.
is something that we've talked about on the show. We had Morgan Killick
yes.
On the show talking
yes.
about it, but you've been instrumental in this.
Yes, Morgan and I are both co-founders. The other co-founders are Cliff Southcombe of Social Enterprise Europe, Nikki Dickens of Make It Happen Consultancy in Stockport, and who's the other one? Emma Green, of course, of Cooperative and Social Enterprise Support Limited. And it really came out of the dialogue that was occurring. I'm a lecturer at Sheffield Business School. It came out of the dialogue that we had over several years at the Cooperative and Social Enterprise Summer School, which we run every July. We wrote a textbook a few years ago with some teaching materials, and we used to use these teaching materials. And the former students would come back in the following year and eventually said, look, you know, we need to brand this. We need these ideas to be branded and getting out there in a new way. And it was Cliff Southcombe who coined the term fair shares, and it just stuck. And I find it sticks wherever I go. I've had invitations from Japan, Australia, to go and talk about this. I've been to Croatia, to Paris. For some reason, which I am quite happy not to fully understand, the notion of fair shares really sticks in people's mind, and it's growing as an idea.
So encapsulate fair shares in a nutshell, then.
Yes. I think I'll use the words of Margaret Meredith from York St John. She said, fair shares is the essence of a solidarity co-op or a solidarity movement. You organise your business to draw in your entrepreneurs, your workforce, your customers or your service users and your investors into a model that treats them all equally and creates the kind of egalitarian business culture that the social enterprise movement wanted to create back in the 70s when it started. So that's what we're about, creating an egalitarian business movement that is fair to all stakeholders in a business.
Crucially, fair to all stakeholders in a business.
Yes.
Wonderful. Now, Rory, people can find out more about Fair Shares at the website.
Yes.
Can you just give a mention for it?
I can. It's if you put fairshares.coop into any search engine, you'll find it very easily.
Superb.
Yeah.
And the book, as I mentioned, it's a perfect gift for Christmas.
It is.
But you might want to buy two copies so you can read one yourself.
Yes.
Where do people buy their two copies of the book from?
The easiest way is to go to a search engine and put Ridley Duff, Dragon's Apprentice. It's making its way into all the online bookshops. It was first available on Amazon. It's very easy to get from Amazon, but if you don't like Amazon, you can get it from many other places. The distribution does go to libraries, to institutions, and to bookstores. So if you wanted to go to your favourite bookstore and order a copy there, you would be able to get it. Okay.
Superb. Well, Rory Ridley Duff, author of The Dragon's Apprentice, thank you for joining me on the show today. It's been a packed show. I want to thank all of our listeners today, and I want to thank our guest for making the final show of the year such an interesting one. Thanks for listening to Business Live. We'll be back next year on the 9th of January. Thank you very much.